We are considering a small portion of Ephesians chapter 1 as our text this evening. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm glad to welcome you to this communion service this evening that gives us the privilege of obeying the Lord in the command that He has given to remember Him in His divinely appointed way. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. These words at the beginning of the verse, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Sadly, the blood of Jesus is strangely forgotten by so many in this modern age. And so much of modern churchianity doesn't have room for much about the blood of Jesus. But if you consider what the Lord did in the Old Testament in the awful torrents of blood that flowed down the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, it is just awful to think of the sight when they celebrated the various feasts and all of the blood that was continually running down that Temple Mount because of the vast amount of sacrificial blood of those various animals. And the Lord has so designed that we live by this stream that is coursing its many, many miles through our bodies continually. And so we are pointed to the wonderful blood of Jesus that makes atonement and redemption for those whose bloodstreams are so tainted with this awful sin nature that we have received from our first father, Adam. One of our hymns says how sad our state by nature is. And that natural state is slavery to sin, slavery to Satan, prisoners to the justice of God, only awaiting our execution. That is our natural state. But thanks be to God, He has found a ransom for us in His own darling Son. That one has come to redeem us, condemn sinners. But oh, what a terrible work that redemption was. The very God who created flesh and blood and all things must become a man born of a woman. Then He must pour out all of His life blood on a shame-filled cross so that we could be delivered from sin's bondage and from the wrath to come. You know, as we go about our blessed lives here in North America, many of our brothers and sisters are giving their lifeblood, confessing Christ before their murderous persecutors in these days. Now, their blood is precious in the sight of God. They love Christ because He first loved them. But as precious as their blood is, it is as nothing in comparison to the blood of the Creator Himself. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 speaks of the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. The very blood of God. Now understand that. We can't really take that all in, but it's what the Scripture states. We have redemption through His blood. And oh, what vast blessings are ours. And you know, even the blessings that we enjoy, the vestiges of a Christian civilization and the amount of order in the midst of a chaotic world today are some of the blessings that we enjoy from the very bloodstream of Calvary. Now, I want us to think about some more of these blessings tonight. There is the amazing love of Christ toward us. What a blessing that is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 tells us that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, this love is most amazing because loathsome carcasses, dead in trespasses and sins, are not at all attractive to attract love. You think about old Abraham. He had a beautiful wife. Even when she was an old woman, how beautiful Sarah was. But when she died, Abraham said that he wanted to bury her and get her out of his sight. We can only praise God that he did not shut us up in the dark caverns of an awful eternal hell forever out of his sight. We praise God that even though we are so repulsive by our nature of sin, yet in spite of our foul ugliness, he loved us to the point of bleeding to death for us. How wonderful. Oh, what love to the most unlovely. And then you think of that redemption, that wonderful, amazing love. Great sorrow, pain, and agony attended his bleeding love. His dear soul was so overwhelmed by his father's terrible wrath. But even in facing that, Christ had known well beforehand what sufferings would be in his cup that he had to drink. But oh, the drinking of that cup was horrible beyond description. Yet he took that cup and he drank it up. Now there's only blessing for us. His love for us was so great that it truly passeth knowledge. We can't take it all in. We can receive some of it. But what a joy it will be in eternity to take it all in. Well, one of the blessings in the bloodstream of Calvary is his amazing love. But we also see in that blood the display of God's infinite wisdom. Who among men, or who among the whole host of angels, could have devised such a profound way of salvation? The very idea of a member of the holy eternal Godhead becoming a man of flesh in order to give his blood a ransom for many. Only infinite wisdom could satisfy both mercy and justice. Only infinite wisdom could punish sin and yet pardon sinners. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you." Behold the manifold wisdom of God. And what is the manifold wisdom of God? Christ crucified. Foolishness to them that perish. But to us who are saved and who are called, it is both the power and the wisdom of God. A crucified Savior. To the unbelieving, it's nothing but foolishness. But to us, the crucified Savior is both the wisdom of God and the power of God. So we see, not only in that bloodstream of Calvary, the amazing love of God and the wisdom of God so marvelously displayed, there is also the view of infinite power in Christ's blood. Oh, what power there is. And what a blessing it is to read of those who have experienced that power. And it's such a blessing to know the power ourselves, that it's not just something to read about and to hear about, but to experience for ourselves. Hebrews 7:25 speaks of his power. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He has delivered so many. You know, he has delivered many who felt so self-condemned that they thought that salvation for them was impossible. That's a good thing when we realize how sinful we are, and even some people think that they're beyond hope, but yet God saves them. His blood has cleansed many people who were not thinking themselves to be beyond hope, but other people thought they were beyond hope. You know, the Pharisees were often looking at people in the days of when Christ was walking on the earth, and they were looking down on these people. These people are just the dregs of society. There's no hope for them. And those were the very ones that Christ was bringing to himself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read about those considered by so many as being beyond the possibility of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Well, how in the world would the unrighteous ever be saved? "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But notice the next verse. "And such were some of you. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Praise His name for the power of the blood of Jesus to cleanse many who were thought to be beyond hope. His blood is all powerful to minister to all of our maladies and to remove all of our miseries. His blood is the remedy. And what kind of remedy do we need tonight? "My heart is unholy." Well, here is sanctifying blood to cleanse it. "My lusts are strong, but His blood can mortify those lusts. My love is cold, so He has soul-inflaming blood to revive and to quicken cold hearts." As surely as there is power to save and power to sanctify in Christ's blood, there is also power to punish and to destroy those who despise and reject the Savior's blood. Now, let me say that again. As surely as there is power to save and power to sanctify in Christ's blood, there is also power to punish and to destroy those who despise and reject the Savior's blood. "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. Of how much sorer punishment shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing?" We must be very reverent concerning the blood of the covenant. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. "Let us rather thank God for the gift of His saving and sanctifying blood. And let us cry out with David, 'Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God.'" Let us pray, "O Lord, accept the Savior's blood as the full satisfaction for all my sins and the all-sufficient price for my soul's redemption." We do better to pray on the basis of Christ's blood. "Lord, impute not guilt to me, but rather impute to my account the merit of Christ's blood." Well, we praise God for the truth of the Holy Word, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We thank God for this wonderful redemption and forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. Let us pray. O God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the truth of Thy word. We thank Thee for the knowledge of the power of the blood of Jesus, the wisdom that is displayed in the redeeming blood. And Lord, we thank Thee for the love that thou hast for us, to give us Christ and to give us this holy remembrance of our Savior. We pray, O God, that thou wilt abide with us. We pray that thou wilt fix our hearts on thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.